That is, as we pointed out, that the Russian, as he made his way, you know, from Germany down to Spain. So again, he bridged the world, the Ashkenazic world, and also the Sephardic world, and being recognized the Gadol HaDor, you know, in both areas. In Sephard, as we know, as we mentioned, he settled in Toledo, and also the Balaturim, Rabbi Yaakov Balaturim, also lived there in Toledo, all coming from Germany and ending up there in Spain. The rush did not reach Spain right away. On the way, he stopped in many different stations, in many areas, and they did not let him leave so quickly as he might have wanted to. Some of the places that he spent time was in France. It was in, particularly in Provence, which is mentioned. And that particular time when the rush spent time in Provence, remember that we are talking about the second half of the 1200s. Early 1300s, we're talking about. It was a stormy tkufa because it started a very strong influence regarding learning philosophy, something we mentioned already, studying philosophy. It started basically in the southern point of France, and this caused a big machlokes, and this did not stop there, but rather it just branched out all area, the influence of the idea of encouraging people to study philosophy, which went all the way down to Spain as well. So you have France, it started in the southern point of France and going down to Spain, and throughout the years it had a lot of ashpa on the youth. So in other words, so the youth as they were growing up, instead of focusing b'chlal on learning Torah, but they had strong influence regarding studying philosophy. And not only that, as a result of that, even the little bit that they did learn, I will give some examples in a second, is basically they looked upon the Chumash as being simply allegorical, as mishalim, parables, it's a moshel. So when you had when the Torah talks about Avraham Avinu and Sarah, this is supposed to be a moshel. Avraham Avinu is supposed to represent someone, who also mentioned Sarah represents, it's a moshel, not really that there is an Avraham, not really there is a Sarah, and so on. The same thing regarding various going through the mitzvahs of the Torah, these are basically symbolic in nature, but not really to be practiced in the way that it is written. And so obviously this had a terrible influence, and they realized what the danger was. So there was this person by the name, as we say, this person by the name of Rav Abba Mori. Now, could I to know a little bit about this person, about this Rav Abba Mori? This Rav Abba Mori, let's understand, is from France. Interesting, he's not from Spain. Rav Abba Mori ben Moshe. So this person, Rav Abba Mori, was born in 1240. And Rav Abba Mori, Lamaise, was a great Talmud Chacham. One can call him a Talmudist. He was a great Talmud Chacham. But he was acquainted with philosophy. But him, it didn't stare. I mean, partially because he was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. And he had a lot of knowledge in philosophy as well. And but when he moved, when this Rav Abba Mori, he moved from one part of, actually he was from Lunel. That's where he was born in. So then he goes on and he moved to Montpellier. And he found that portion that the study of Gemara was being very much neglected. So the study of Gemara is very much neglected by the young people, because as mentioned, they devoted most of their time to philosophy and science. He also heard, as mentioned, that the interpretation regarding the stories or the narration of the Torah is merely mishalim. It's supposed to be allegorical. And this is basically, believe it or not, there was Rabbi Levi ben Chaim was somebody, and Rabbi Yaakov Anatoli, that introduced Greek philosophy into learning Chumash. Into learning Chumash, and the interpretations basically was also had, they ranked Lahavdil Aristotle with Moshe Rabbeinu. Same thing. Moshe Rabbeinu was recognized as to be a leader, an influential leader, and Aristotle is the same way. So this Rav Abba Mori was a big kanoi, tremendous kanoi. And therefore, to counter the threat of what was going on, of these practices, so Rav Abba Mori went ahead and he began to write letters, he says, to all the Gdoi Lahador. He starts out writing in France, in Provence, to condemn the study that the Gdoilim should put out in Isser, condemning the study of philosophy, and to urge the communities to see to it to save the spiritual communities from being destroyed. So we have the Rajba. He writes letters to the Rajba. He writes letters to the Rajba, who was the Gadol HaDor of this time at the time, and who really ultimately supported Rav Abba Mori, and also, as we find, which was the Rosh. The Rosh also very strongly supported Rav Abba Mori. It's interesting here, it depends, the Chidor also talks about him. It's Kedai Taka to mention here, in some of the Lashon, there's a Sefer called Or HaChaim. Sefer HaChaim is not from the Or HaChaim HaKadosh Elyon HaChumash, but Sefer Or HaChaim that discusses personalities. And he writes as follows. He writes about Rav Avi Mori that here b'stoyre b'mant pelyei. He was a mar b'stoyre. U'bizmano yischilu yoshve provance, he says, lazoiv esek ha-toyre. V'osku rak b'divre ha-filosofim. And they were also calling philosophy. B'frat b'sifre Aristo, especially in the Sfarim of Aristotle. V'notu achre dvorov. And poshet they got attracted and they followed, he said, the Aristotelian, you know, theories and shittis. Atche kofru mamish b'pashti satoyr. The mamish kofru, as we said, the pashti satoyr, they did not translate or interpret the pashti satoyr. And also all the nisim, kriyas yamsuf, the makas, they took it out of context and saying, no, this is just a moshul, and so on and so forth. This is not real the way we interpret it kipshutoy. So therefore, lochein niskane harav, niskane means took on kenois, this Rav Avi Mori, imechachomim acherim, and he went and asked, the way he did it, his introduction to the Rajbo was he asked the Rajbo some shailos on halacha. And then once he already introduced very shailos on halacha, he went ahead and he also threw in, he says, the kenois regarding philosophy and so on. And this was the movement. So what happened is, as mentioned, Leketchila, you know, there was hesitation. There was a hesitation to take on, he says, this fight that Rav Avi Mori introduced against philosophy. And there was a very big chiddush that the one really who really took it on seriously, the first was the Rosh. And the chiddush was because the Rosh was really a newcomer. He was really a stranger to these lands. Being a stranger to these lands, one would say he's not even familiar so much with the culture. Right? He's coming from Germany, and so on, and to the matzav of Provence. But nevertheless, the Rosh, with his vast experience and being one of the Gedolei Rishonim, not great only in Chochmah, but also very street smart, so the Rosh really took upon himself to see what can be done. And the Rosh said, enough of writing letters, you have to do something. Writing letters, the lip service is all fine, he says, but ultimately you have to go down Lamaisa. So, what the Rosh proposed in Montpellier, he's told Abba Mori that what you should do is to draft and galvanize people who are supporters, that they should go out with a melchoma against kfirit. Against kfirit. Something which was quite difficult. Why? Because most people had relatives or were yedidim with those that were already maskilim, those already caught up in the web of the Haskalah at the time. Again, so Abba Mori goes along, right, and he writes, as he say, he writes to the Rajba. Interesting, at first the Rajba, there's a collection of letters. I have a copy. It says on a computer. I don't have the sefer, but it's on the computer. It's called Minchas Kenois. Minchas Kenois is a sefer of all the various letters that Rav Abba Mori wrote at the end of the 1200, the 13th century, where he writes to all the various Gedolim regarding the problems that existed at that time. And it seems like that the Rajbit first felt, go on, I'll catch up a little bit later. Rajbit was not really one of the first to get involved, because again, it was a lot of political difficulties regarding that situation. The Rosh, on the other hand, did not want to delay. He saw the danger that lies ahead, delaying it the longer. So therefore, the Rosh writes to Abba Mori. He says, you know what, let's try maybe to negotiate. Let's take representatives from both camps, from the camp of the right, the Frum camp, and also the camp from the Maskilim from the other side, and let's see if we can come to some pshara. And interesting, the Rosh was willing to make a simple pshara. As long, he says, that you give and dedicate many hours for learning Talmud, you can study philosophy also a little bit. So he was willing even to give in to that. But Lamaisa, he saw that the psharas didn't work. They did not go along with it, and so on and so forth. After a little while, it sort of quieted down the controversy, because Rajba took ill. The Rajba got sick. And it came to a point where he realized that he had to do something else. But the Rajba still, while he was sick, but then he decided, I'm going to have to do something. So with Shabbos Parashas Devarim, 1305, in the main shul in Barcelona, that's where the Rajba was Rav, he was the Rav, with the Godlador, but that his shul was in Barcelona, that's where he lived in Barcelona. So they made an announcement, and it was a ceremonial announcement, imposing a cherem. An interesting thing, the text of the cherem was written by this Rav Avi Mori. The text of the Cherem was written by this Rabbi Ben Mori, putting in Cherem, says anybody under the age of 25 who studies philosophy. In other words, after the age of 25, hopefully they already had learned a lot of Torah, so then they gave a heter. But under the age of 25, whoever basically puts his head into philosophy would be put into a Cherem, with the exception of studying medicine. Medicine is something else, practical, beneficial, was not part of that Cherem. So then when that Cherem came out, the Rosh had not yet signed on to it. And it was very important to see that the Rosh also becomes part, a signator on that Cherem, because the Rosh, even though again he was sort of like a newcomer to Spain, but nevertheless his influence was already felt all over. As a matter of fact, all the Kehillos in Castilla, you know, that part, northern part of Spain, were all under the authority of the Rosh. Whatever the Rosh said, that was the last word. So it didn't take long. So the Cherem, as we said, was Parshas Dvarim 1305. Right in the beginning of 1306, the Bezin of Toledo, right under the leadership of the Rosh, sends like a copy and a letter with the signature of the Rosh on it, that he's also part of that Cherem. So just interesting. I have here just a copy. You can see this is a copy of the original print. of the many, many letters. There's a letter to the Rajba. Just want to say, he writes, Rabbi Ben Mori writes to the Rajba, right in the beginning, encouraging the Rajba. Interesting thing, how individuals had influence on Gedoy Lahador to do something. If not for this Rabbi Mori, who knows, you know, how long, or this Cherem would have come about. It was this person who was so persistent, and he kept writing letters and pushing and shoving, you know, shaking and moving, that this happened. So I'm just going to give you a few lines, because it's literally tens and tens of lines, starting out with Shvachim on the Rajba, the God Lador. There's some of the Lishoinus, he says, Mi lonu godol mimcho. Who is greater than you? He writes to the Rajba. Isha sheruach elekim bekirboi. You are the person who encompasses, he says, the spirit of wisdom, Eitza, Bina, understanding. All day, Yerushimayim is what permeates you. Biyotcha, he says, you have the Mate Hamishra, you have the power, he says, you have the rod. And he goes on and on and on. And then he says later, Ki Ashot Svicha Lekach, now the time is very necessary. It's now already Bo HaKeitz, Vava Eis HaMezumen, we have to do now, because it might be too late. He goes on to say how the people got involved with Aristotle, B'mamore Aristoi, Koitap Yisoida Musad, their foundation is based on the teaching of Aristo. So Meli goes on and on and on, and then he says later, so now as if like he's magic, like he's waving his finger at the Rajban, he says, Ba'ato Adoineinu, and now, Ba'ato means now with an ayin, Ba'ato Adoineinu Moireinu, Sar V'godol, Moishia V'rav. He says to the Rajban, you are so great, listen to this phrase, Ashlohoyo Kamoicho B'mea Shoiftim, even the time of Tanakh, there's no one as great as you. He brings down Yerubal and so on. He says, Dabor Echo, Dabor is not Dover, Dabor is a leader. Dabor Echo Miyuchet Shibidor. Al Eile Tisapi, can you hold back? Can you keep quiet? The Echtuch Alira is Kevalas Akoidish, how the Koidish being swallowed up. He says, Behold them beyond. Chagoy Chalbachal Yodcho, take the sword, he says, in your hand, and so on and so forth. These are the verses. You can imagine, it's just a chelik of it. There's more. I have one page here. But upon them, so this is the type of letters, and he was successful. And as we say again, the Rosh, of course, was very, first of all, against the Mechum, the Rosh was very strong, matter of fact, even before the Rajba. But later on, the Rosh signed on to the Cherem also, as was pointed out. Okay, so this is a very interesting little tkuf again, of the many, many parishes that the Rosh was involved in when he came to Spain. So I'll take over by the Yochas Chaim of the Rosh. Okay, we're going to do here, we are here on in the Yochas Chaim, and we have an hour edition here of Rav Moshe Stern, it's Daf Yudalad. Right, it's Ois Chof Hei. Daf Yudalad Ois Chof Hei. We are still in Yom Rishon over here, getting closer to Yom Sheni. I mean, this was supposed to be done the entire Sefer every week, but this is where we are. All right. Okay, so the Rosh says, okay, Chof Hei. Okay, what is another Hanhoge, says the Rosh, another proper appropriate Hanhoge, says the Rosh. Well, it would seem from here that the Rosh is not machadish anything. It's a pasuk in the Torah, right? V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha. Mitzvah v'ahavtas Hashem means you have to love Hashem with everything, right? You should be ready to give up everything for the love of Hashem. And then he says, "V'haskem." Listen to what the Rosh says here. Here, very important words now. V'haskem, you should confirm in your mind. In other words, v'haskem ba'omrecha, confirm in your mind when you are saying in Krishna, when you're saying as Hashem alekecha b'chol avavcha, right? You're saying v'haftas Hashem alekecha b'chol avavcha. What should your kavana be? Look what the Rosh says. What should a person be mechavin? What should the kavana of a person be when he says v'haftas Hashem alekecha b'chol avavcha? Your kavana should be limsar gufcha u'memoincha al kudishosoy. If it's a question, he says your life or a kodesh baruch hu, a person should be ready for Kiddush Hashem. Question is your money or a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Limsar gufcha memoincha al Kodesh Osoy. Ubozeh, if you have that in mind, tekayim be'atzamcha, you will now have fulfilled divrei ha-mishayir, the words of Dovid HaMelech, who is the Mishayir, Dovid HaMelech, right, is the one to Tehillim. Dovid HaMelech says in Tehillim, ki olecho hoiragnu kol hayoyim. Dovid HaMelech says that Yidin are so committed to Kodesh Baruch Hu that every day we allow ourselves, right, as if it were to be killed for the sake of Hashem. Now, there's a Gemara in Gittin Daf Nun Dalet that explains this post. It goes on Mila. The Melech says, and Baruch Hashem, we are alive every day. So what does it mean? How does the Yid demonstrate, right, that he kills himself, allows himself to be killed for the sake of Hashem? So the Gemara's interpretation is, it goes on Mila. Mila, you understand, says the Gemara, a baby of 8 days, Bemis, it could be a sakona. And yet we find there's no hesitation that parents throughout the millennia, thousands and thousands of years, Yid HaMekayim Mrs. Mila, and they don't look at it, the fact that it's a delicate child, right, just 8 days old. They don't say, let's wait till he's 6 months, right, maybe he's a year, but they do at the age of eight. And so that's a demonstration, Kolecho Horagnu Kol Hayoyim. And by the way, there's a Chuvah Chassam Sofer, and I said it by the Sholem Zocher, by Avigdor, Rabbi Magulius Shul. How many years ago? I mentioned the Chassam Sofer I'm saying right now. I didn't think of saying it, but it just comes to my mind. Chassam Sofer says, when the Gemara says, Kolecho Horagnu Kol Hayoyim, that it's a demonstration that Yidin are ready, right, to allow themselves to be killed for the sake of Hashem, it means mitzvah smila. So the Gemara says, why? Why is this called allowing yourself to be killed? Because smila is a sakona. So the Sofer says, really? Baruch Hashem, millions and millions of children, right, agamalet, very rarely, very small percentage on record that have died because of smila. So what kind of a demonstration is this? Kolecho haragnu kol hayoyim. Statistically, Baruch Hashem, children survive, and that's what we hope it should be, and that's the way it is. So how is going through with the mitzvah of Mila demonstration, Kolecho haragnu kol hayoyim? So Sofer says at Dovra Pella, he says, Be'emes Tamala, he says, to circumcise millions of babies at the age of eight, B'derech HaTevetz Askona. But being that it's a mitzvah, the mitzvah of Mila protects them. So the fact that Baruch Hashem, we see that millions of children, right, are being gemalah throughout all these years, and there's no sakon, it's not because Betevet's not a skona. Betevet is a skona. But the mitzvah of Mila, the schus of Mila protects them. But if not for the mitzvah of Mila, if you would be mulling millions of children at the age of eight, there would be many more fatalities. There would have been. But it's because of the mitzvah of Mila. So kyalecha ragna kolayim. So it comes out of the Rosh, and the Rosh gives another interpretation. The Rosh says, you know how a Yid is Mekayim, kyalecha ragna kolayim, with a machshove. Because when he says in Kriyashma, V'haftos Hashem alekecho, b'chol evavcho, b'chol nafshecho, b'chol medecho, that he declares and he confirms in his mind that he's ready to give up everything for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that machshava is considered as if it was acted upon. So says the Rosh, Gevaldi Gezach, a person doesn't have to go through it, but with the machshava, with confirming in his mind, u'bezeh tekayim b'yatzmecho, with that machshava, with that commitment, you're able to be mekayim divrei hamishoyer kolecho haragnu kol hayoyim with the machshava bialma. So let's take a look a little bit here what Rav Moshe Sternbuch writes here in the bottom in the beer. Chof hei. Le'eloi v'zashem b'chol avavcho v'chol nafshecho. Datoi, we see the opinion of the Rosh is shitzrichen medina lachshev al nafshecho. In other words, the Rosh does not say this amidus chasidus. The Rosh is writing this is for everybody. Which means that everybody should really have the mind that we're not all the great Bala Madrega. And yet, the Rosh expects and the Rosh instructs all of us that when we say this pasuk in Krishma, Lachshev al nafshecho, dahayne shemuchem limse nafshoi, ve'enzu madrega letzadikim davke. You see from the Rosh did not consider this to be davke for a great tzadikim, but something that everybody should work on, as we'll soon see. We'll take a look at the sheet soon. Ubezeh, and the Rosh says further, Ubezeh tekayim biyatzimacho, divrei hamishoi rekolecho ragnu kolayoyim. He says, Dvorim nefloim, amazing words, says Rav Shterbuch. Amazing words of the Rosh. The muchach medvarav, which you see from the Rosh, shebe machshava levad, with a simple machshava, right? With a machshava levad, b'kriyishma karo, having a proper machshava when you say krishma, nechshav shebe emes mosa napshoi u'miskayim kolecho haragnu kol hayoyim. So it means when somebody, right? When somebody, all those who went al Kiddush Hashem, Chazal say that their chelik in Gan Eden, there's no one that's higher. The highest level in Gan Eden that one can imagine are those that died al Kiddush Hashem. What would come out, what emerges from this rush, possibly, that if somebody confirms in his mind, Bishas when he says Krishma, to be Moshe Nafshoi, the rush says you're Mekayim. With that machshava, and maybe then one is able to be zoichet to tremendous, tremendous madrega in Gan Eden. Now it's considered as if one actually went al Kiddush Hashem without having to go through it, the pile. But the fact is that a person confirms that in his mind, he's already mekayim kerecho halagnu kol hayoyim. So let's take a look now, based a little bit on the sheet, and see what we have to say about that. All right. So we had the words of the. Of the Rosh, le'ehoiv es Hashem b'chol levavcho b'chol nafshecho b'chol meidecho. And the love of Hashem should surpass anything that's valuable in your life, whether it's your possessions, whether it's your goof, whatever it should be, b'chol levavcho b'chol nafshecho b'chol meidecho. So we have here a few lines of Ori Yecheskel, that's Rebchatzke Levenstein. You pointed out many times that Rebchatzke Levenstein and Shivas Ponovich, they had a Seder Nochas Chaim, and there Rebchatzke used to say very shmusen. Very shmus interpretations of the Orchis Chaim, and they were, some of them were recorded, and so forth. We have that, and it's also called Ori Yecheskel. Many of the other stuff from him is also called Ori Yecheskel, but this is particular on topic of the Orchis Chaim. So let's take a look and see some of the words here of the Ori Yecheskel. Okay, here he says Muchayov Emanu Likrei Krishma Parmayim Bechol Yoyim. Right, that's a Chiv Min HaTorah. We don't need the Rosh to tell us anything about that. That's a chiv. That's a chiv, and the Torah tells us that twice a day that we have to recite, we have to say Krishma. But who you said Kabbalah Sol Machishmaim? And what is Krishma? Krishma is not something simply to say. Krishma is the Yisoid of Kabbalah Sol Machishmaim. When he says Krishma, what is he doing? He's Mekabel upon himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, being the Melech over him, and he is the Eved, he's now subordinate to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kabbalah Sol Machishmaim. Ready to accept instructions, whatever Hashem says that he's ready to do. That is what Krishma is. Ubachas Chaim laharosh dal biyer mehusa shel hamitzvah. He says laehoiv. The idea of the mitzvah is to come to a madrega where Hashem, where he loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu more than anything. More than anything. Says Ubachatzka Levinstein, you realize that this is very far from the average madrega of a yid. He says, Yizboinen kolechod vechod. Let a person take stock. Let us take stock of ourselves. We're learning the shtickle rush over here. But then let's take a look. Let's take, he says, an honest look within ourselves. Yizboinen kolechod vechod b'matzovoy. V'yoymar, let him say, Im yeshloi keshe v'shaychiz b'hagosh eselu. Can a person really honestly say, when I'm saying v'hatas Hashem lekecho, do I really have this hagosha that I love Hashem, right? More than anything. Right? More than any bank account I have, and all the real estate that I have, or even more importantly, even more than my life, he says. Let him test. When he says it, is his heart together connected with his mouth? Because it's easy to say. But the question is it pivali boy shavim? Is his heart also connected with that? And the fact is, and yet that seems to be the chiyuv. Oil malchus shemayim, no pshat lech kipshutoi, lekabel oil mamish. Oil means to accept the yoke of Hashem, kishar la oil, just like a shar, just like an ox when he plows. Right? You put on the yoke, right? The ox has no ulterior motives. He knows he has to do what he has to do. Chamor la masa. Like a chamor, right? You put a load on the back of a chamor. La loy rosin prati klau. We serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with our ritzainis, our bottle. Our ritzainis is one thing, to do what Hashem wants. That is our ritzain. That should be. That's Kabbalah Salamach Yishamayim. Kabbalah Salamach Yishamayim is I put aside my own private ritzainis, ela besayif, ela kofuf kuloi, lemarusa ish HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm totally kofuf. I'm totally subordinate, he says, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right mastership. So he says, so this doesn't come right away. This works in steps to get to the highest madrega, right? What the Rosh is telling us, to love Hashem more than anything. So first, you have to work on actually confirming your belief in Hashem. That's the first thing. A person first has to uproot the Yetzirah Hakfirah. Many times puts in doubts in a person's mind. Is Hashem really aware of what's happening? Is Hashem really running the world? What is the role of Hashem, right, in the universe? So a person first has to really confirm in himself and try to banish, right? Try to banish all these doubtful thoughts, right? Yitzre hakfire, that lead a person to deny, possibly to be doubtful of Hashem's presence. How do you do that? Al yedei netiyas yisoidus amunah, right? A person has to work on amunah, on the foundation of amunah. Amunah has no gvul, by the way. There's different madregas in believing. There's one madrega in believing, then there's a higher madrega in believing, and so on and so forth. The Karavis Lavovoi, and try to bring his heart to be closer to Lamira's Piv. When he says with his mouth, Vahavto, his heart may be not there yet. But little by little, to try to bring the heart closer, to actually believe in what he is saying, Va'odyesh Tikva, if a person works on it, then there's hope, Sheyagia L'Tachlis. And he says, Vim Koshe L'Idroish, and if it's really difficult to request, now there are unique tzaddikim that 24 hours a day you can tell, you can see the Yirat Shamayim on his face. There are tzaddikim. You see every move that they make. It's very difficult for the average person to expect Kabbalah Salamach Yishamayim on his mind 24 hours a day. That might be difficult. But at least when you say Krishma, he says. But at least when you're saying the Krishma, at least then, for those few moments, a person should come to the Hargosha, Mekol Mekoyim, Lepochois Be'ez Krishma. At least when you're saying Krishma, Sheyargish Halev Be'emus Yichud Hashem Yisborach, that there's only one Rabbein Shloilem, the Kabbalah Salamach Yishamayim. V'zebo, you have to work at it, does not come. So realize that like your Shemaim you have to work at also, it doesn't come just by itself. Otherwise everything just becomes out of habit. You get up in the morning, you put on your clothes, put on your pants, you put on your shirt. Yeah, you're saying Krishmos, you're saying this, you're saying this, and it all becomes, you don't even think about it. Think about it, if a person takes a fruit, right? He mumbles a bracha. Do you think for one moment he thought a moment? He doesn't even remember if he said the bracha or not. He figures if he ate, Mustami said the bracha before. That's the cheshm, right? You say an elchayi, you take the fruit, you have your hands, right? You close your eyes for a minute. The Rosh Hashiva and the Mashgiach, you know, of Manchester, Bibi Huda Sigal. When he said a simple bracha, he took a sitter. Some of you have a cousin in Cleveland that was very close with him. So he spent time with him, had schutz to spend a lot of time with him. He said a simple bracha, a shahaku el nebedvoro. He knew it by heart. He did not say it only from a sitter. His concentration was so that every bracha, simple bracha, and that is the idea. A kuponim. So to come to experience oil machas shemayim, a person has to work at it. It's something you have to make that a career. Like you make a career, have a business, right? You have to have a plan. Just to jump into business, but it's a plan. This is the business, how you set up a business. This could be my office, right? This could be my contacts, whatever the situation is. Your Shemayim also needs a plan. Shemayim is a plan. Avodah Zarah Hashem. You're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he's saying over here. Zebor Raka de Omo V'yigia B'machshavos. You have to meditate. You have to think about it. Take a few minutes. Make that an important part of your life, that you have to grow in that area. That's the Nekudah. That's how you reach. That's your perspective. I think it was Reb Kalman Kron, Reb Pesach's brother. Also had a relationship with the Mashgiach in Manchester. And the Mashgiach in Manchester had his siddur that he used to daven. So he figured, He says, who is better to ask a bracha from or to daven for you? He says, than the mashgiach who daven with so much kavana. So what he did was, he needed a bracha in a certain area, right? In the Geshe Shemon Esrei. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was Atochainin or whatever it was. Where he said Hashiveinu Avinu in a certain area. So he put down his name on the mashgiach's sitter. He put it on the right side. There was a room on the margin. He put his name, Kalman Ben, so and so, So when the Mashiach will be saying, we're davening Shemon Esrei, so he'll daven for him too, we'll see the name. Sure. So time goes by, but he didn't ask Rishus. So time goes by, finally he felt a little guilty that he wrote without Rishus in the Mashiach's sitter. He wrote the name. So he goes to the Mashiach, says, ask Mechila. He says, what happened? He says, Mechila says, I took the sitter and I wrote my name on the side. I never noticed. Because when he davened, his words were mamish on the words. He didn't look right, he didn't look to the left. I never noticed the name. Half of the fella. It was right there. He said, I never noticed. I didn't know that. His eyes were mamish on the words. And this, of course, this is a very special contrastation. But we should have a little bit of a shaykhus to that. But kaponah, as you see, it doesn't happen just by itself. It has to be important to you. If it's important to you, then you work at it. And if you work at it, Bez Hashem, you have Sati Dishmai to come a little bit closer to these type of madregas. Okay. So here again, go to number three. So we have to move on time a little bit here. And we have here, this is also another piece of Ari Cheskel from Cheskel Levishtein. This is on the words of the Rosh. V'tachshoiv, a person should have in mind, should confirm in his mind, Be'omrochos Hashem Melekecho. When you're saying V'haptas Hashem Melekecho, the Rosh says, Becholavavcho, you should have in mind, the Rosh said, Limsar Gufcho U'mamoincho Al Kudishosoi. So here again, look what Rebbe Chaskel is saying. The Rosh expects all of us to be there. Elu madreges gevoyis. These are talking about high madreges. Umi zoicho lehem. Who are those that are zoiche to that madrege? But, says Rebbe Chaskel, he says, just because it's difficult does not mean that you shouldn't try at least to come closer. Maybe you don't reach the top of your goal. Ulam mishum kach, just because these are high madregas, lo niftorim lechapish aces lekabel yachasim, at least have a shaykhis to these madregas. Maybe you don't have those madregas, but at least touch these madregas. Have a shaykhis, he says, lepochas betam. At least you should want to. You should have a desire to reach these madregas. The imrochakno, and even if we are distant, the madregas ulamaisa, ilu bepoil, we are not there. Mekolmokim leniftarnu, we are not potter miliskare v'leir b'machshove. At least the machshove, our mind should at least focus to hope to be there. So v'lamadnu midvorov goydel dover zeh. And we see how great the machshava is, because the Rosh said further, "Achikosav al kach ubazet tikayim be'atzmacho," that with the machshava, with the strong machshava, you'll have fulfilled divrei hamishoyer kolecho ragnu kolayoyim apopi shebemaisa lohoye kandover. Inu b'maisa baruch Hashem, nothing happened to you. You're safe and you're well. You're alive. But with machshava alone, that shows how strong even just the power of the machshava. So if we have at least a machshava to want to get there, that also is a chelik of the power of the machshava. And therefore it's important that we should set that as a part of our avodas Hashem, as a strong priority. Now, there's a sefer called Mekor Chaim, as you see here, we have here, which is the fourth item. Mekor Chaim is Rabbi Yom Zilber, which you mentioned a number of times, of B'nai Brak Zechoyin Lavrocha, who put out quite a number of editions of the Orchis Chaim. And being that the Orchis Chaim is called Orchis Chaim, the ways of life, but the Rosh does not tell us the sources of all these instructions. So Rabbi Yom Zilber wrote a pirish called Mekor Chaim, the source of Orchis Chaim. Mekor Chaim means the source. The Sefer is called Orchis Chaim, right? So Rabbi Yom Zilber wrote a pirish called Mekor Chaim, which is the source of the Orchis Chaim. So he's writing, first of all, on the words of the Rosh, V'tachshoiv, the Rosh says, V'tachshoiv, right, Be'omrechos, Hashem Elokecho, B'cholavavro, Cholnafshecho, the Rosh says, talks about how a person should confirm in his mind that he loves Hashem more than anything. Mekoiro, he says, Mebrochis, Samachalifom, Elbeis. You know, the Rosh is not making up anything on his own. Everything has a source. And in particular, what the Rosh is saying over here is from Brachas of Samachalif on the base. Remember when Rabbi Kiva was taken out? Remember when Rabbi Kiva was taken out, Lahariga? He was one of the Asara Haruge Malchus. So the Gemara tells us that Oisai Hayoim, the Gemara says, when they took out Rabbi Kiva, it's the man Krishma. It happened to be this man of Krishma. And Rabbi Kiva said, oh, I'm still alive. He knew that is moments, right? He knows that man is just moments to live. But I'm still alive, it's the man Krishma. Rabbi Kiva goes ahead and he says Krishma. And the Talmidim saw how he was able to concentrate, you know. Rabbi Kiva knew that in a moment he's not here anymore. How are you able to concentrate on Krishna, right, in such a way? So the Talmidim said to him, Ad Khan, how's it? So Omar Lahem and Rabbi Kiva said, Kol Yomai Hu Yisi Mistair al Posuk Zeh Bechol Nafshecho. Every time when I said the Posuk, V'Havto Ose Shem Olekecho Bechol Nafshecho. And what do Chazal say Bechol Nafshecho? Bechol Nafshecho means Afilo Noitu Es Nishmoscho. Whenever I used to say that Posuk, I didn't just say it. Omarti, I was hoping, Mosa Yover Liyodi Vakaymenu. Interesting thing, Rabbi Kiva all his life was preparing for this moment. Half of a fellow, Yamadrega Vatzadik, to that extent, Kiva all of his life. And remember, the Bala Musa said, there's another Nakuda here also. Another Nakuda. If a person all of a sudden is being hit with Kiddush Hashem to give up his life, right, your mind cannot go with comfort, your mind cannot, obviously there's a lot of anxiety. But if a person prepares for it, that when the time comes already, he's already used to it. That's what Rabbi Kiva is saying. You're wondering how I can go with such serenity, with such tranquility. How I can go, Taki says, for Kiddush Hashem. Because it's not for me the first time now. All my life, I was preparing for this. So in my mind, I already had this goal in front of me. So the Maisa, when it happened already, it wasn't really something new. It wasn't new. I was living this. I was living this Kiddush Shemayim all my life. Look at the Rajba writes in Chelik Hei Simen Nun Hei V'zel Hashoyne V'haklal. Okay, this is the Rajba. Shetzrichin onu l'kvaya ben afshenu haskoma mukhletes. We have to establish, right, within ourselves, haskoma mukhletes, right, means a clear confirmation. B'chol eish shenikra krishma, whenever you say krishma. Whenever the Krishma Shonu Maskimim Lism Soir, we are ready to give up Kol Tavoisenu, all our desires, the Cheshkel Vavenu, all our desires, all our Cheshiks, the Chol Nafshenu Minho Evorim Vatnetilis Nefesh, the Hamomoim, Al Yichud Kedusha Shemoi Vekabolas Malchusoi. Go to the left, the next column, Amish to the left, in the bottom, next column to the left, that's the Hemshech. Vishinira Bitsir Halev, and we should imagine, look what the Rajba says. The Rajba says the person should imagine as if his mamish is being taken out of Kiddush Hashem. The person should imagine that. Vishinira Bitsir Halev Kiilu Bonu Ledekach Vikeyamnu Vahu Omroi, and that's what Dovra Melech says. Mamish like the Rosh. Mamish like the Rosh. Vahu Omroi, that's what Dovra Melech is saying. Kolecha Oragnu Kolayoim. The question is, the Chayev Shili Hari Kolayoim. How does it mean? If you kill a person more than once, what do you mean kill like kol hayoyim? How can I be killed every day? Every day when you say Krishma, it's as if you gave yourself for Kiddushim Shemayim. El Shubachol Yoyim, Shunakoyim be Krishma. That every day when we're saying Krishma b'chol nafshecho, u'maskim malkach, and we are maskim to that, harehu ki'ilu huragnu ba'ois resho olav yizborech, ki kol ha'maskim al zeh kilu asa'oi. If you're maskim on something, you get credit as if it's done, and so on. And v'shuv ra'isi, that's the Rosh Tevis there. In other words, Rabbi Yom Zilber brings another source, that's b'sefer Charedim. The Charedim Rabbi Sai lived in Tzfas, Rabbi Lozer HaZakri, right? And he was the contemporary, together we mentioned many times, with the Arizal. The Arizal was in Tzfas at that time. Rabbi Lozer HaZakri was in that time. The Beis Yosef was there. And the Alshech was there. All these great Gedoy Loilim were there. The Beis Yosef was like the Rav. And the Alshech was the Baldarshan. And Rabbi Lozer HaZakri, they didn't know who he was because he was a Tzadik Nister. They thought he was like the Shamas. Not he was like the Shamas. He was the Shamas, but he was the Tzadik Hador, as acting as the Shamas. And the Arizal was a great maven on him. But being that Rabbi Lozer HaZakri, right, did not want his tzitkis to be revealed, so he, low key. The Lozer HaZakri wrote this sefer called Charedim, which is a sefer on the Taryag Mitzvahs, and he writes the Hashkof of the Mitzvahs. The Ashkofe, what's the Ashkofe behind the mitzvahs? And when came like Baimah, which is approaching soon in Miron, and the Arizal used to go to Miron to the Rashbi, Rav Shimon Yochai, and there was a lot of dancing and singing, and all of a sudden the Arizal, he says, jumps over to Rav Lozer HaZakri, and he takes his hand and starts dancing with him. And everybody wondered, why is he dancing with the Shamus? And then the Arizal revealed it. So I'm here in Miron, he says, Rav Shimon Yochai is dancing with him. He said, I shouldn't dance with him, he says. So this is the Charedim, wrote the Sefer Charedim. Shuv Raisi b'Sefer Charedim. The Charedim writes, B'miyin ha-mitzvahs, She'choyshev ezeh b'mitzvahs aseh shol v'nikdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael. In other words, there's a mitzvah that says, v'nikdashti, I will become sanctified b'soich b'nei Yisrael. How is the Yid Mekayim that? With the Machshove. Yid Mekayim b'machshove. Yid Mekayim and confirms in his mind. So the Mamela, you get credit for that mitzvah. The Kosav, and he says, he writes in the Charedim, the Hoche Isa Bisifri. So now it's already a Chazal also. This is what the Charedim writes. The Yachshev came, Beliboy, Kishikoya Krishma, Betevas, when he reaches the words, Bechol Nafshecho, Ubetevas, Bechol Nafshechem, because Bechoyim Shemoy is plural. Right? Lohafto is singular. The Yaskim Askome Gimura, Shimiovoy Lede Nisoyim, right? If it comes to a test, right? Yischazeg v'yimso nafshoy memoinoi b'simcha k'rubikiva u'b'nei Chana. Like we know Chana and her seven sons, we know what happened. V'nichshavloi kilu nimsa b'poil v'haynu d'chsiv k'olecho ragun kol yoyim b'hochi isa b'sifri. So there's many, many. So it's interesting. So you have here, as we pointed out, we have here, right, the Rajbo. We have here the Charedim. Right? We have here the Charedim. And quoted here that the source is Sifri. And we have the Rosh. And I'll take a look at Rabbi Meilich of Luzhensk. Look at Rabbi Meilich, look on top here. This is, you know, there's the famous, if you open up the Noy Melamelech from the Rabbi Meilich of Luzhensk, you have what's called the Tzetel Kotten, which is a small list. It's not such a small list, but it's called the Tzetel Kotten. And it goes by the Seder of Hanhogis. Everything is Hanhogis in Kedusha. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dal, the whole list of Hanhogis. What is Aleph? Let's take a look over here. What's Nagei Mamish, what we're learning here. This is from Rabbi Meilich of Luzhensk. This is Aleph. Look at what he writes. B'chol eis v'rega shuponim min ha-Torah. So Rabbi Meilich said, let's say you find yourself sitting, I'm giving a wild motion, you're sitting in a doctor's office, yeah? Right? You're waiting an hour, right? You wait, and you have no sefer around, right? And you don't want to read and waste your time with Narishkeit. So how can a person make, right, productive use of the time he has no sefer to learn? In his mind, He should think that if Chas v'Shalom something happens and I'm forced to give up my religion, you should have in mind that v'haftos Hashem alakecho b'chol levavcho b'chol nafshecho, he's mekayim every moment that he thinks about that, he's mekayim mitzvah saseh. So without doing anything, he says you have mamish mitzvah saseh and you have tremendous, tremendous accomplishment. Look what he says. B'chol eis v'rega shuhu ponim min ha-Torah. He said every moment, he says, when you're ponim min ha-Torah means you're not learning. Ubefrat, he says, when you yoshev bottle of adoy becheder, right? Or yoshechel amitosa, you're lying in bed, you don't have the sefer now, you're lying in bed. The lights are closed, but you can't fall asleep. So instead of counting sheep, he gives another etzer. So what should you do? Ben yochel ishini, like you can't sleep, right? Yemahare b'mitzvah sasei zushel v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. He should be thinking about this mitzvah v'nikdashti, v'yedame b'nafshoi. Look, he makes it very vivid. He does not mince any words. Look what he says. The Yitzay b'machshavtoi. Imagine in your mind, kilo eish godol v'noira boyer lefonov. Imagine there's a gewaltig, tremendous fire that's burning out leva shemayim. V'hu bishul kedushas Hashem yizborach shoyver estivoi. He breaks his tera. U'mapil es atzmoi. Right? U'mapil es atzmoi l'hoesh al kiddush Hashem yizborach. U'machshova toiva kodesh boruch hu metzaf alamayseh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, is Mitzaf L'maisa V'nimtza She'ena Shoichiv Yosher Bottle, and therefore he's no longer, he says, sitting bottle. Like Mekayim Mitzvah Saseh D'Raisa, but rather he's being Mekayim Mitzvah Saseh D'Raisa. So here again you see Mamish being confirmed, he said, from all angles, from the world of Chasidus, from the world of the Rishonim, from all of this, and this Mamish, this phrase what the Rosh says. So we see what this takes on tremendous meaning in Tehillim Kalecha Ragnu Kalayoyim. We see what it means and the tremendous char what a person can have. But again, as Reb Chatzko Levenstein pointed out, Noyecheskel, you have to work at it. It's not so simple. Again, Reb Ramayel gives you this idea to do. Imagine there's a big fire burning and you're ready to jump in. Not everybody's so ready. So Mamela, so, so, so in Settle Kotner he writes it because to him it was poshet. The Rabbi Meilich Alexander was a poshet thing. There was no hesitation for one second. I love it. Like Rabbi Kiva, Mosa Yovel Yodav Kaimenu. It's tremendous madrigas we're talking about. But at least, as the Ori Cheskel said, at least have a goal. She at least want to reach a madriga. That's also madriga, even if you're not there yet. Just wanting to reach a madriga is already a tremendous thing because you're on the right road. So you have to put yourself on the right road, go in the right direction, even if you do not reach your destination. If you did not reach your destination, but the fact is you're going towards that destination, that is, you get credit like you've been there in many, many senses. Many years ago, we had here quite a number of times, you know, Reb Simcha Wasserman, the son of Reb Chonam, and he spoke here. We had him Shabbos at the table many times. I remember a lot of things from him. As I repeat different drushes to different areas about things that he mentioned. And he said, I heard from my father, he says, Reb Chonam, he said, you realize, when did Yaakovinu see Malachim? You know what Malachim, what does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk said that Yaakovinu was going, right, was on the way, right, as the Pasuk says, and he sees Malachi Elikim, and he sees the Malachi Elikim, Vayikra Shem Amokim U'machnoyim. You know, while Yaakovinu was going on the road, Yaakov Holach L'Darkoi, the Pasuk says. Yaakov Holach L'Darkoi, he did not reach a destination. Holach L'Darkoi, you go in the right direction, right, Vayikra Boi Malachi Elikim, and already he sees Malachim, he says. Rochona said, if you're on the right road, in other words, they used to say many times, you know, if the going is easy, right, you have to be careful, because maybe you're going downhill. So you have to be careful. So the idea is you have to make sure that the car is in the right direction, that your neshama is going in the right direction, the right highway. So even though you're not there, it could be quite a distance, right? But on my side, that already is a madrega. You should want at least to try to have to set yourself a goal to reach a madrega. And that's what the Ori Cheskel is saying. So another shtickle Ori Cheskel we have. Limsa gubcha umamoincha al kudishosoy. Now, the interesting thing here. The Ori Cheskel here, in these few lines, wants to give us a little bit of an etzah. To make it a little bit easier, that a person should understand, right? A person should understand how it's possible to reach a madrega, a little bit, to be mekarev de la seichel, to reach a madrega to what the Rosh is saying, right, and what the Rajba is saying, and what everybody is saying, that v'hatas Hashem l'kech, that the love of Hashem shall be above your goof. And a person should be ready to be makriv, to sacrifice his goof. So he points out and he says like this, im yargish ha'odom be'emes, what a person really has to experience and understand, shanefesh hi mitzuosoi vaguf rak kilvush huloi. In other words, we are a combination of a guf and a neshama. And please understand, what is the person? What is the person? Is the person the guf? Is the person the neshama? Is the person both? So the Ori Cheskel says here, the truth is, think about yourself, we have a guf, right? So the guf is the body. Nobody will ever confuse that the jacket is my guf. Everybody understands the jacket is just a lavush, right? And there's no problem, right? If a person would have to, right, for good, to give up his jacket, right, and to preserve his goof, he'd be ready to do that. To preserve the goof, it's kedai to give up the jacket. Relatively speaking, the same thing, the goof and the neshama. The goof is just a lavush, it surrounds the neshama. The neshama is inside. The essence of the person is not the goof. The essence of the person is really the neshama. The goof is just the lavush. If you understand that, he said, that the mitzvah of a person is his neshama. Va'guf rak lavush huloi. The goof is only a lavush, which surrounds the neshama. So yekel olav kiu mitzvahs mesiras nefesh. That makes it somewhat lighter, easier. Mesiras nefesh. Kilo yargish. Because then he doesn't feel like he's giving up himself. Because himself is the neshama, and the neshama is not giving up. What he's giving up is the lavush, that's what he's giving up. When a person goes on Kiddush Hashem, the neshama remains. That's not him, that's just the lavush. So when a person appreciates what the neshama is, then this mitzvah, right, will be easier. If a person will develop a taste, right, to what the neshama means and to the role of the neshama, to the chashivas of the neshama, at least he'll have a shaykhis l'machshava emitis shom mesiras nefesh b'shas kriya shema. So these are all the issues we see, the various little bit of aces and situations, that which we learned over here in the Rosh. So let us just conclude with a very, very beautiful little maisa. From the Sefer Tuvcha Yabiu is a Sefer from Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, who is Rabbi Yashiv's son-in-law. And a lot of Choshev Svarim that he had put out. And so he has in the Sefer Tuvcha Yabiu in Chelik Beis, he brings over here, he brings the following. And this mice actually was printed in different places also, and he has some shinuim. So, but the basic mice, it's really amazing little mice if you see over here. He goes on to say this. He says, "Hine sipur martit." He says, "There's an amazing story." He says, "There's an amazing story." He says, "Al bnei toyre mishivis nevarduk shehuchnusu laachas hagitoos in the ghettos betchumah of Russia, one of the ghettos in Russia, during the Churban, during the Second World War." So you had here, he says, talmidim of yeshivas nevarduk, and they were thrown into a ghetto. And more than anything, yes, there was lack of food, there was lack of drink, but that wasn't what bothered them the most. What bothered them most is they didn't have any svarim to learn from. They didn't have any svarim to learn from. They had no gemaras to learn from. So he says, "V'loy ha-ro'od heitzik lahem." It wasn't the hunger, the starvation that really, right, that really bothered them the most. But gamloy ha-tzoma, not the thirst. Like uvda, the fact she'ne'eltzu, that they were forced la'hafzik is limud ha-gemara bi'yun. They're not able to learn like they did in yeshiva. Gozlo mehem, that fact that you're not able to be able to do any learning in the ghetto, that robbed them as menuchas anefesh. So what they do? They figure, we have to figure an etzah. The problem was they had no svarim. They had no svarim. So chiblu habuchurim tachbuloi. So they sat down to figure out some ways of strategy, to figure out some way how to smuggle in gemaras. People want to smuggle in, right? Tobacco. People want to smuggle in liquor. They wanted to figure how you smuggle in gemaras. How you smuggle in gemaras? The thing of rights is ki keitzav lahachnis mesechtes gemara el bein achoymois hagero, between the walls of the ghetto. What? Lemoris ha-sakona ha-tsumah shevdovim. Why? It was a big sakona, by the way, because they found out that you smuggle in religious articles, it was very dangerous. So how can you do it? What's the practical way to be able to smuggle in some gemaras into the ghetto? The Jewish mind does not rest. He says, "Hamoyech haYehudi shloishovas," right? Ma'oidoi, that never rested. Himzi patent meula. So they found out some patent. Found out a good one, a good patent. Habachurim, he says. Yoshua Habachurim, he says, "Vahelo hamsoa shekizu." This is the hamsoa. Kivinish, he says, "Shagermanim arurim." He says, the cursed Germans, they did allow food, jars of food, containers of food, they allowed to be, of cheese, they allowed to be brought in. You know, somebody wanted to bring in, into the ghetto food, they allowed it. That they allowed. Because it was a matter of survival. So they allowed, hitiru lahachnes legero kufsoyes givina lamachom. They allowed jars of cheese, they allowed. So what did they do? So the Bokhrim in the ghetto sent a message to those on the outside, to the contacts on the outside. Cheese you're allowed to bring in. Cheese has to be wrapped in paper. Rip out pages of Gemara and wrap the cheese with Gemara paper. They're not going to think that this is Gemara, this is wrapping paper. And they say, "Now, are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to rip up pages of Gemara and wrap cheese in it?" Well, take a look what happened here. So this is the Eitzah. The Bokhrim sitting there in the ghetto, right? So they sent message to the contact, when you send the cheese is allowed, but wrap the cheese in Gemara paper. That's the wrapping paper. So he said, Yevakshu b'nei yeshiva mechavreim, right? So the b'nei yeshiva, right, requested from the chaverim, shenoistru mechutz, those chaverim that were still on the outside of the ghetto, sheya'atfu es ha'gvina b'dafei ha'gemara. They should wrap the cheese with dafim of Gemara. In this way, this fashion, it'll never occur to them that these are holy pages. First of all, they wouldn't think that a Jew is going to desecrate, going to take Gemara and wrap cheese in it. For that alone, they're not going to think that. Who's going to do such a thing? They're going to be mavaza their own Gemaras. They can do such a thing. It'll never occur to them. Kim Shei Matzmon, right? Because they themselves, the Germans, lo yaminu shebnei yeshivas muchonim levazo is a Gemara. So when the cheese comes around with the wrapping of the Gemara, the Germans are not going to think that this is really Gemara stuff. This is some Hebrew words, that doesn't mean anything. The Chayin Havid, this is the way it was. Hayoim daf, one day this daf, mocha daf, the next day another daf, every day a new daf was brought in. He says, mocha resayim, 2 days later, oy daf. Vekach hishchilu Yehudim mebechutz, they were sending, mesechtes shalemis, ganze mesechtes. Ganze mesechtes. But they had a shaila l'aloha, are we allowed to do that? Shaila l'aloha, I mean, look what you're doing. You're taking Gemara and wrapping Gemara pages with cheese? How can you be mavaza that? Well, allowed to wrap cheese with dafi gemara. As a shayla heviul if ne'erod migdoy la poiskim bedor hahu. Right. In a different mokum, they mention even the name of that godel who it was who they asked. So they asked, when the gedoy la dor, are we allowed to do that? So listen what he said. If a question would be, forget it. If it would be a question, chas v'shalom, some let's say has a heart attack. Kuach nefesh, right? And there's no paper. And you need paper to treat them for some or something big wounds. For pekuach nefesh, there's no question. You can rip out Gemara even if necessary. For pekuach nefesh, for talmidei hayeshiva, for not learning Torah, to them it's pekuach nefesh. That's what he paskan. Torah for them, for pekuach nefesh, you're allowed to tear out pages of Gemara that they should be able to learn Torah. That's what he paskan. He paskins kivim she eskel talmidei nevardik meduver biskonis nefashis. It's not a question of a luxury. Yes, learning, not learning. Not a question. There's a question called nefashis. Shaim lo yilmedu yagiul matzav pikuach nefesh mamish. If they won't be able to learn, it'll come to a matzav pikuach nefesh. Hutre kol atoyre kula eskel pikuach nefesh. Ubefrat, that is the covet of Torah, to go so far to sacrifice, to do whatever you can, to do whatever is necessary to be able to learn. So these are just other examples. You have different ways of Mesiras Nefesh, you know, that you see throughout history that Yidden had to try to preserve and to maintain the Mesiras, to maintain the tradition. And that's the only reason why we are here today. It's because always there was, no matter what the gzeiras were, there were always Yidden were ready to take it in order to preserve that Mesiras and would not let anything stand in the way. And all those who oppressed us, they took were wiped off the map. And as Hashem, so this is again just another link in the Hanhogis, in the Gewaldigen Hanhogis of a Yid. But as we see, this is a goal that we set for ourselves to try to work at it. But Hashem should be Masriach to come a little bit closer to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the proper way.